Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
If you're not aware, the $20 minimum wage is in effect in California thanks to the law AB 1228, and it impacts fast food establishments with more than 60 locations nationwide, and that includes, obviously, Starbucks, McDonald's, and Pizza Hut. Well, I don't know what other companies are doing to address this, but McDonald's has assembled a task force called the Rise and Dominate Team. So they're on it. And they have decided that what will help is bringing back the bagel breakfast sandwiches. Now, not just in California, but across the nation. So, I mean, it went away back in 2020. But they're going to bring it back, and that's going to help. Now, they're also spending $15 million on local advertising in California. I don't know if those ads are going to say, hey, come here, we have bagel sandwiches back. Oh, okay. That would be great. Is it just one, or can I get the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, sausage, egg, and cheese bagel, or the steak and egg and cheese bagel? Yep, you can get them all. It's back on the menu. So that will bring back the customers and offset the $20 an hour. Uh-huh. I'll tell you another thing that the Rise and Dominate team are going to discover. Less humans is what's going to help that. So that's what's going to happen. Rise and Dominate with less humans. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So a couple days ago, the country of Iran attacked the country of Israel. And this is what it sounded like over Jerusalem, Israel, over the weekend. Not any. There are 11 Jerusalems here in the United States. As far as I know, it did not sound like this in any of those cities. As drone missiles are being launched toward their country. And they're being intercepted. I think 350 bombs were, or drone, we'll just call them bombs, were launched toward Israel, and 99% were taken out. So that is awesome. That is wonderful news, at least for now. And everything is kind of at a standstill. We're just kind of taking a breath. This was our retaliation for you bombing us and killing a guy in Syria. So let's just take a break. And Israel, you go back to, you know, wiping out Hamas and the Palestinians. Okay? And we'll let Iran just kind of sit over there and take a breather. Let's hope that happens. Now, maybe we should thank the aliens. I don't know that, but I see where astronaut Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, has claimed that aliens attempted to prevent nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia by deactivating missiles. Are they still around? Do we know? Or did they just leave and they were here earlier and then they left? He claimed that during weapons tests, unidentified flying objects were seen by military personnel. He disclosed how unusual vehicles were reported around crucial missile sites and the significant White Sands area in New Mexico, where humanity detonated its first nuclear weapon back in 1945. He said he's a native of New Mexico, close to both sites, and he believed that you don't know the area like I do. Okay. So it was aliens that stopped us from going to war? Yes, according to Edgar Mitchell. He stated that extraterrestrials have been trying to prevent us from engaging in war and encourage peace on our planet. Okay. After landing on the moon, he openly expressed his belief in extraterrestrial entities, becoming a central figure in worldwide UFO communities. He hinted at hearing comparable stories from individuals employed at missile sites during the most unstable periods of the 20th century. Is that going on now? Are we having our UFOs keeping us at bay? I mean, I hope so. I want that to be true. I do believe I want that to be true. Now, he claimed that he had spoken with many Air Force officers who worked at these silos during the Cold War. They told him, so we're already reaching out, down the line, hearsay, told me UFOs were frequently seen overhead and often disabled their missiles. Other officers from bases on the Pacific coast told me their test missiles were frequently shot down by alien spacecraft as well. Now, Nick Pope, the former Ministry of Defense UFO researcher, which, I mean, who isn't a fan of Nick Pope, he claimed that, you know what, the idea of peace-loving extraterrestrials are here to warn humanity about our destructive ways is popular with those who take a New Age view of the UFO phenomenon. It's a nice thought, but it's also the plot of the classic 1951 sci-fi movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. And so why don't you just get over it? Okay, I want to believe it. All right. And Pope goes on to say that given the universe is around 14 billion years old, which, by the way, I don't know that I agree with that already. We're already on the premise of the Earth being the universe being around 14 billion years old. But OK, if you'd like to learn more, you can always go to ICR.org. That's the Institute and creation research. So you may change your mind, and you may not. However, he believes that aliens managing to disrupt a few of our weapons tests are far-fetched. So is it far-fetched? I mean, where are they now? Are they helping? Let's hope so, because between you and me, just between you and me, you don't have to tell anybody else, I don't want a world war, okay? And so let's do everything we can to avoid that. Maybe we can all plant trees or put in fresh shrubbery. Maybe. I mean, wouldn't the world be better for it? I believe it would. And you don't have to go to a big box store. You don't have to look to try to make a deal with some side of the road plant huckster. You can go to fastgrowingtrees.com. Did you Fast Growing Trees, biggest online nursery in the U.S., more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States as we speak. I'm looking at their website right now. As we speak, they have a 50% off sale on some of their best sellers. They have a buy one, get one free area. They have evergreens for every yard. I mean, they have everything you could possibly want. Like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And the world is going to be better for it. So whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. You can find the perfect fit for your climate and space. See, that's the kind of thing you don't have to know where you live. And they, you know, they can help you out with what particular plants, trees, whatever you need, grow the best where you live. And Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. I ordered some shrubbery for the front of the house, and because I didn't have to leave the house, I didn't have to go to the big box store, and I drove right by that side of the road plant huckster because I knew I had shrubbery coming from Fast Growing Trees, and it was here banging on my door in less than 2 days. And they have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. So this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. Listeners to this show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the offer code Jeffy at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Jeffy at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Jeffy. The world will be better for it. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Jeffy. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. So I guess we're to believe that the red hot chili peppers were visionaries. Their song Californication has been going viral after fans began uploading videos of their lyrics on TikTok. And they, you know, they were visionaries. They prophesized life in 2024. Now, this song from 1999, but the words written by Chad Smith, John Frusciante, Anthony Casita, Michael Mazzari, Red Hot Chili Peppers. The lyrics are, you know, psychic spies from China try to steal your mind's elation. Little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotation. If you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's the edge of the world, end of all Western civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in the final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication. Pay your surgeon very well to break the spell of aging. Celebrity skin, is this your chin, or is that war you're waging? Firstborn unicorn, hardcore soft porn, dream of Californication. Marry me, girl. Be my fairy to the world. Be my very own constellation. A teenage bride with a baby inside, getting high on information, and buy me a star on the boulevard. It's Californication. Space may be the final frontier, but it's made in a Hollywood basement. And Cobain, can you hear the spheres singing songs off station to station? And Alderaan's not far away. It's Californication. Born and raised by those who praise control of population, well, everybody's been there. And I don't mean on vacation. Firstborn unicorn, hardcore softborn, dream of Californication. Destruction leads a very rough road, but it also breeds creation. Earthquakes are the girl's guitar, they're just another good vibration. And tidal waves couldn't save the world from Californication. Pay your surgeon very well to break the spell of aging. Sicker than the rest, there is no test, but this is what you're craving. Firstborn unicorn, hardcore soft porn, dream of Californication. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers from 1999, Visionaries. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Well, I see Civil War opened this past week. I should have gone to see it. I heard a review from a reviewer that wasn't me, and she said that it was slow and boring. So I didn't come out of the gates excited about Civil War. I do want to see it. It was written by the person who wrote Ex Machina and Annihilation, and I loved Ex Machina. That was awesome. But this movie is, California and Texas have united against a president who has disbanded the FBI and given himself a third term. I am interested to see if we ever do learn, you know, what actually sparked the Civil War that we're in. Kristen Dernst is in it. That's why she's been making the rounds, telling her stories. What was it that she's... Oh, yeah, the girly girl. I was offended. They called me girly girl on the set of Spider-Man. Okay. Thanks, Kristen. Appreciate it. Anyway, opened at number one. Awesome. It got, 25 million opening weekend, which was great for them. I know they predicted, under 24. So they got more than they predicted, which everyone is happy about when that happens. The main three cities, according to the analytics, New York, Los Angeles, Dallas. And I think L.A. beat out New York, but whatever. L.A., New York, Dallas. Those three cities were the top cities that went to see Civil War. Yeah, because those three cities are going to be the cities that participate if that were to ever happen. Huh. Well, congratulations, Civil War. We'll see. It doesn't have much... doesn't have much competition in the next few weeks, so we'll see how it works out continuing on. But the rating from Rotten Tomatoes was 83% with the 77% audience score. Its cinema score was a B-, which, according to this, indicates that word of mouth might not be strong going forward. Yeah, if it was tedious and boring, no, don't go to it. So word of mouth will not be good. That will be interesting. So if you've seen it, email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. I'd like to hear your review of Civil War. You can email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can reach out on X at Jeffy JFR. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on YouTube as well, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. I know many of you parents out there were concerned. You thought the Emmy Award-winning children's TV show Bluey was going to go away. I know it was going to be over. It was going to end. But no. No, you don't have to be stuck watching repeats of Bluey. The new season, the showrunners have confirmed there will be a new returning season for Bluey. So that's fantastic, right? Oh, no. One thing that's not fantastic and it's really sad is that, remember Jerry Turner, the Golden Bachelor, the first Golden Bachelor, and Teresa Nist were so much in love after the television show, they got married and they tied the knot, because there's nothing like the love you have for one another from a TV show. And so now it's been 3 months since the televised event, and they're going to go ahead and make history again, because, yeah, they're going to get a divorce. It's over. He's kicking her to the curb, or she's kicking him to the curb. Either way, they sat down for an interview and they said that their decision offered little to the audience of what happened, but they just said, you know what, we just couldn't be married anymore. Really? I thought you were over the moon in love with each other. Yeah, we were. And sure, he kind of lied about his past. He had dated other people since the death of his wife. Sure. You know, so what? According to Nist, she said he told her all about that. And so it didn't matter. And the couple who were, you know, were all smiles, even ended the interview with saying, hey, we still love one another, but we've come to the conclusion it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage. I root for her every day, said Turner. Do you? So the divorce is coming, and we just feel like it's best for the happiness of each of us to live apart. Yeah, they went house hunting, and she was going to move to South Carolina. She probably went down to South Carolina and said, no, thank you. And they looked at a bunch of houses, and none felt quite right. Yeah, because it was with him. And sorry about that. These houses don't feel right because I'd have to live here with you, and that's not going to happen. Now, they said, I still love you. And they kissed. They kissed each other, and they went their merry way. So what a shame. The Golden Bachelor, Jerry Turner, and his wife, Teresa Nist, now ex-wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, couldn't make it work after 3 whole months. Almost like a Hollywood wedding. When actors work on creating a film together, they fall in love and they get married. And then when they come back home after the film is over, they realize, wait, this is a different person than I was doing on the set. And they get a divorce. It's almost like that. It's almost like a TV show made to find a wife or a husband isn't perfect. It's almost like that. You know who else isn't perfect? CBS. I think we all know that anyway. But Saturday was the big Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden special. Now, I personally forgot about it, which I'm dumb. I believe I recorded it because I wanted to see it, but I didn't have an opportunity to go back and watch it. But then I find out that it started late because of the Masters ending late. So did they start the concert late too? Did they start at the very beginning, or they just upcut into the concert? Because at the close to the end of the concert, they just break away to local news. Billy Joel is singing Piano Man. and CBS breaks to local news. What a bunch of doofuses. I would have been so pissed, and I am already. I'm upset already, and I wasn't watching. Come on, CBS, do better. So is this going to be the new Billy Joel rule? I mean, the NFL got the Heidi rule way back in 1968. The game, remember back in, well, I don't, way back in 1968. Who remembers that far back? But the game was coming down to the final seconds of the game, and the network just breaks away to go to Heidi, the movie. Millions of people were so pissed that they just went away to discover the game. So it's got the Heidi rule, right? The game goes until the game's over. So now, I mean, we got to have the Billy Joel rule. When Billy Joel is having a concert on television, it goes until it ends. That's going to be a new TV rule. CBS, what are you doing? And I bet, I don't know that they've actually commented on it yet, but I'm sure that it's just that's a sequence, a timed event. No matter what's on at CBS at 10 or 11 or whatever time zone you're in, it goes to local news. Now, I don't know if it was just affiliates, and where if it's network owned, they stayed with the Billy Joel concert, and it was just the affiliates that had it automatically timed to break away from the network. I don't know the answer to that. But man, I would be angry, and I am angry. I mean, that's ridiculous. Especially, I mean, he's in the middle of his the Piano Man, millions of people watching your network. Yeah, I would just go to the news. Just go to the news. Oh, man. I mean, it would be one thing if it was, you know, a weather predicament, because there's another thing that kind of ticks me off, too. And I know that it's weather and we have to have it. It's important. And there's breaking news, whatever it is. But if there's something big on, man, you gotta do better. You have to do better. You have to realize what's happening on your network. And I know that, breaking news overrides everything, but you have to. Well, you can quote me on this. You have to do better. Who died today? Who died today? Well, let's begin with Eleanor Coppola. Eleanor Coppola, yes. Award-winning film documentarian, artist, writer, and wife of Francis Ford Coppola has passed away. She is dead at the age of 87. She was surrounded by her loving family at home in Rutherford, California. No cause of death was given. Huh. So it couldn't have had anything to do with that. Or they would have said something, right? Of course they would have. She's at the helm. I mean, her own filmmaking. Then she's got her kids, Roman and Sophia and hubby, Francis Ford. I mean, it's a filmmaking dynasty. Anyway, rest in peace, Eleanor Coppola, dead at the age of 87. Then we have Robert McNeil. Robert McNeil, dead at the age of 93. He was a creator of PBS NewsHour. Back in 1975, McNeil, along with the late Jim Lehrer, launched a half-hour nightly news program that later became America's first hour-long evening broadcast. And it won all kinds of awards and had live coverage of the Senate Watergate hearings. Now, he left the show in 95 to focus on writing, and then McNeil died this past Friday at the age of 93. According to reports, he died of natural causes. So, couldn't have been that. They would have said something. Then we have Roberto Cavalli, Italian fashion designer, dead at the age of 1983. He launched his fashion brand back in the 70s with, you know, the animal prints and the stretch jeans with the Lycra. I mean, Taylor Swift, Madonna, they all have worn his stuff with that synthetic elastic fiber to everything that he made. He was a trendsetter in fashion. And he is dead at the age of 93. He died from there was no cause of death announced. So it couldn't have been that. So if it was that, they would have said something. It's just incredible. Just incredible. Rest in peace to Roberto Cavalli, fashion designer, dead at the age of 83. Then we have... Oh, this is sad news. Well, yeah, all the other dead people aren't sad news, Jeff. I know. It is. They're all sad. But the oldest living conjoined twins, Lori and George Chappelle, die at 62. Remember, I mean, they were conjoined at the head. Oh, man. They pursued separate careers, interests, and relationships during their lives. How do you even do that? I don't know. They defied medical expectations. They died in Pennsylvania a little bit earlier this month. We're just getting the news now. They were 62. They were listed as the Guinness World Records oldest living conjoined twins. It didn't say what the cause of death was, but... I'm sure it wasn't anything to do with that, because that would just be wrong and it would have been in the story. I didn't know this, though, that George came out as transgender in 2007. So they proved him wrong. George, who had spina bifida, was 4 inches shorter and was wheeled around by Lori on an adaptive wheeled stool. I don't know how you do that. I mean, holy cow. What a nightmare. They would say, hey, we lived and we had our lives and we lived longer than anyone anticipated. So rest in peace to the oldest conjoined twins, Lori and George Chappelle, dead at the age of 62. Does that make our girls that we were just talking about, Abby and Brittany Hensel, the conjoined twins that are conjoined at they have a full body, they only have two heads. Does that make them the oldest? I don't know. They were born in 1990. So I don't know who the oldest conjoined twins are now. But somebody's stepping in, because the ones who were the oldest are now dead. You see where they found a sketch of a Revolutionary War soldiers and female companions? They just discovered it at this apartment. So apparently, this Judith Hernstadt had an array of artifacts from the colonial period, which she had gathered over the past 40 years. And she wanted to, I don't know, sell them or give them to the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia. Now, the head guy, the curator, Matthew Skik, S-K-I-C, finally got to visit this Judith's apartment in New York. I guess because of COVID pandemic and other commitments, he had to delay the tour until August of 2023. Oh, so he saw it back in August. Why are we just finding out about it now? So his patience was rewarded when he witnessed Hernstadt's assemblage of prints, paintings, furniture, and other rare items from the 18th century. So she took him into one room, and then he was really, you know, impressed by the stuff he had. And then she took him into another room, and he said, "My jaw just dropped. It was pen and ink sketch of 18th century soldiers walking next to a horse-drawn wagon that included two women and a baby. Depictions of an army on the march from that era were rare, and he wasn't sure which army it was until he spotted an important clue. One of the soldiers was wearing a distinctive American garment called a hunting shirt. It was a typical garment of the Continental Army worn by American soldiers." Now, they went on, unbeknownst to Hernst, that she was in possession of one of the earliest eyewitness depictions of American troops and their female companions during the Revolutionary War. Wow. So the drawing had been crafted by an artist, I guess, who played a prominent role in the new American government, and they didn't even know about it. And in fact, where it was signed and other writings on the drawing were torn off. You know, we don't know why, but they believe that it belonged to this Pierre Eugène de Saint-Martin from 1777. He had done a bunch of stuff, and there's other signatures that look exactly like his other stuff, and there's drawings on the back of this print as well. It's incredible. It's 15 by 5 inches, 6 men, 2 horseback, 2 on foot, 2 riding in a wagon, have supplies, 2 women and a baby. On the reverse side, as I said, are preliminary studies of figures in different poses. He's just practicing, getting his ideas down. Wow, and it's difficult to read the inscription, but they believe that it belongs to this guy. Okay, so how much you gonna get for something like this? After all, this artist was the first known portrait of George Washington, which was featured on the 1791 one-cent coin. He was a Swiss-born philosopher and artist who had settled in Philadelphia in 1774. So, how much are you going to get for this piece of work? Artwork. Just incredible. Now, he was so excited after he found out, he went back to her and said, hey, look, this is the real deal. I'm excited. And she said, I'll go ahead and give it to the Museum of the American Revolution. Wow. So we're finding out about it now because it's going to go on display this week, and where it's going to be unveiled, and you'll be able to see it at the museum. So, man, I don't know what she's getting for her other stuff. I hope it makes up for that, because that had to be worth a fortune. Interesting study that was done on 8,623 healthy people in Norfolk, England. They were followed for many years, and by the end of the study, 537 participants had developed dementia. So we could see what factors might have preceded this diagnosis. And according to the study, the eyes can reveal a lot about the health of our brain. So problems with the eyes can be one of the earliest signs of cognitive decline. Wow. So in this study, it shows that the loss of visual sensitivity can predict dementia 12 years before it's diagnosed. That's pretty incredible. Then, as you read through all their study points and you get down to the bottom, they say, you know what? Not so fast. Sure. These are exciting findings, and the treatment for memory problems using deliberate eye movements in older people has not been done that much yet. And you know what? One of the other issues is that, we don't have access to eye tracking technologies. With their expensive and they require training and use and analyze, we're pretty sure it works. But until cheaper and easy to use eye trackers are available, using eye movements as a diagnostic tool for early stage Alzheimer's is really not possible outside of the laboratory. Wait, what? Okay, so there's a $1 million idea for you right there. We need an eye tracking app right now. That needs to happen. We need an eye movement diagnostic tracking app so that I can, just bring it up on my phone and look at my eyes and have it tell me, yeah, you're going to go ahead and get Alzheimer's. In fact, you already have it. I know I'm moving, man. I don't want that. No, I don't. We don't want it to tell me that at all. But I do want to have the app, and I want to be able to know. Can I see the flowers? No. Can you look? No. Just don't look at that. Move your eyes. Oh yeah. No. It'd be just like getting your palms read. You put the app up to your eye, and if the app goes, then just log out of it, because you do not want to know the answer. Oh, we get sentencing today, too. For those of you listening live, today is the 15th of April, 2024, you know what today is. It's the 15th of April, Jeff, is what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who was convicted in March by a jury on a charge of involuntary manslaughter in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, and who has been held for more than a month at a county jail on the outskirts of Santa Fe, New Mexico, go before a judge and get sentenced today. She is facing up to 18 months in prison for that fatal shooting. And our man, Alec Baldwin, goes on trial in July. And there's all kinds of shenanigans going on with this case. And I don't know if it's regular shenanigans or if it's just Alec having attorneys that are just like he is, just a bad person. But I can't wait for that trial to be happening because it's just silly. We've covered it many, many times, and the whole thing is just silly. But doesn't mean I have to like Mr. Baldwin, because I don't. And he is a douche. And we are going to continue to use the gunshot and the gun cocking while using his full name or his first name until this trial is done with. So, man, we'll find out what the armorer was convicted of in the fatal shooting by Alec Baldwin. And really, the shooting of Joel Souza, too, the director. We all forget about him. And Helena Hutchins. I mean, we've got to be, her family is probably sick and tired of this case because she is, we lost her. She was in Who Died Today a long time ago. And it really wasn't that long ago. It was, October of 2021. So we're almost be 3 years once we get to the trial of good old Alec, and it can't end soon enough. We knew the NBA ended its regular season over the weekend. We have the NHL regular season wrapping up this week, and we have the WNBA draft tonight. I mean, nobody cares about the WNBA draft. We all know that Caitlin Clark is going to go to the Indiana Fever. So, I mean, we'll tune in and we'll watch the video clips of that. Will we tune in? I don't know. Will we watch the video clips? Absolutely. But it happens tonight at on ESPN. Of course, they're airing the WNBA draft so they can pretend like it actually matters. And it will be... it'll be at the famed Brooklyn Academy of Music, and there will be broadcast, and the draft will be beginning at 7:30, the pre-show at 7 p.m., and there'll be this is the first time the WNBA draft will have fans in attendance since the 2014-16 drafts were held at Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. Tony Orlando just ended his career. Not his career, his concert tour at the Mohegan Sun. But of course, Caitlin Clark is the breakout star. That's what we're there for. The rest of them, I know you all are great basketball players, and we loved watching you play, but we loved watching you play against Caitlin. So, sorry. Congratulations to Denver as they topped Boston College to win the 10th NCAA Men's Hockey National Championship. What college is Denver? I guess they're the Denver Pioneers. They were the number 3 seed, and they beat the number 1 seed, Boston College, 2-0 to win the 10th national championship in program history. Don't mess with the Denver Pioneers, man. Even though you may not have ever heard of them before, they're the team in the NCAA hockey. So back off, all right? Congratulations to the Denver Pioneers, man. You guys are the champs. Congratulations. One last little quick sports story. All the things that we hear about happening in New York City that are terrible. And I mean, crime is out of control. Immigration is out of control. We're going to go ahead and try a former president and a presidential candidate over something really stupid in New York as we speak. And yet the city council approved plans for a $780 million NYCFC stadium that will be the city's first soccer-only venue. Now, was that really needed, New York? Of course it was. That's why they approved it. Okay. All right. Congratulations to New York for approving the $780 million NYCFC stadium, the city's first soccer-only venue. Will it ever get built? I don't know. Maybe with all the immigrants coming into the city, maybe it will. All right, I got an email sent to me at chewingthefat@theblaze.com from a listener to the show, and he was saying, hey, I have got a joke / thought of the day for the show. Now, my man Jed drives a truck. No one supports truckers more than myself or this show, Chewing the Fat. So I appreciate it, Jed. Thank you very much. And I appreciate all you do for delivering goods and services across this great land of ours. You guys are the heartbeat. There's no quitting. You're the heartbeat of this country. Anyway, I want to tell you his joke or thought of the day. Now, I have heard this before. I don't know that I've ever used it on this show, but it is a fantastic thought or joke of the day. And just remember, I didn't write this. I have heard it before, and I don't think I've said it on this show because, you know, I don't know. You may not want to repeat it. It's so horrible. But here it is. All right. With 3.8 billion women on the planet, you'd think it would be clean by now. you would think that, wouldn't you? Well, weird how that isn't true.
And subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.